Now, in addition to exploring your African roots in your art, one of the things that's so special about Fayaya and the Mandingo Warriors is the way that you've worked to establish links with Native Americans. There's some very moving passages in this book about White Buffalo Day with Reverend Goat Carson, your cultural exchanges with the Hopi and the Lakota as well. I wonder if you talk a little bit about that traveling part of your life as well as an ambassador for this.
Yeah, well, that was special, especially with Reverend Goat Carson. Yeah, I think we were first. We went to
Lakota first.
Yeah, Lakota first, and well, you know, some real interesting, you know, interesting things happened. I mean, some people wouldn't believe that when we went out to Bear. Her name was Bear. She was our tour guide when we went out to the.
I don't remember her name.
You don't remember her name.
Been a long time.
Yeah, well, she took us out there to out in the prairie where all of the buffaloes were. You know, and they was out there maybe 300 yards away from us.
Maybe less.
Well, I think at the time they were about 200 yards away. And at the time, we all gotten out of the van, the 16-passenger van that we was in. And we were standing out there looking at the buffaloes. I guess the breeze or the wind must have brought our scent to the animal, to the buffaloes, right? Mm-hmm. And they picked up our scent. And I guess they want to say, well, you know, we never really smelled this out here like that. So
whoa.
So it's something strange about this scent. So they went to following the scent. So they thought it coming towards us. Honestly, you know, taking their time, curious, you know, they was very uh-huh. curious. And they all were just walking. Well, it was a big herd, Jeffrey, a couple of hundreds, huh?
It was a couple of hundred buffalo. Yeah. And my memory is that they were a lot closer than 300 feet or yards.
Yeah. Faster, probably.
They were moving very slowly. We didn't threaten them, and we moved very slowly. But it's kind of weird to be standing in a field with a couple of hundred buffalo and mm-hmm. knowing that there's nothing between you and them.
Right.
Well, the truth about it, they were a distance away, but as they started coming forward to us, they started creeping in, started coming, you know, casually, just walking, just wondering, looked like they wanted to know who we were. And they kept coming closer and closer and closer and closer. And before you know it, there was like something like maybe 10 yards away. I mean, only 10 yards away. And Bear something. She said, oh, get in the van. Please come on, she said, because I have never, she's a native Indian. Uh-huh. I have never ever seen anything like this before. And she said, I don't know what they're going to do. You know, and so please, everybody hurry up and get in the van. You know, and well, there was some were too reluctant. They was hurrying up in the van, right? So they were jumping in the van, some of them, because some of them was afraid. They didn't know. And they actually had to force me in the van because, believe it or not, something I felt about those buffaloes and something I think they were thinking of me. Oh. And it was coming that close. And I really wanted to stand there until I could touch one of them. And I really wanted to put my hands on. And I felt as though, like, this is what the buffaloes wanted. Honestly, but everybody was so frightened, they begged me to jump in the van, man. But I just, wow, I'm just sorry that I didn't stand there and touch those buffaloes, you know, honestly. And after we all gotten in the van, they shut the door, and my daughter was crying. Oh, Daddy, I have on red. They're going to get me.
You know, oh, no.
Yeah, she was small. And believe it or not, they stood around the van for, what, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. They surrounded the whole van, wouldn't let us move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was some strange things that happened there. And then when we met the Hopis, we was at the
Grand Canyon.
At the Grand Canyon. And, you know, and we started playing some drums. And, you know, and we were playing the big drums, the African mm-hmm. drums and things like that. And I don't know the last time anybody ever heard any drums playing in the Grand Canyon, honestly. And, you know, in that canyon, the sound travels. And
the acoustics are good.
Yes, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, and we were practically in this area alone until we started playing the drums. So I guess by the drums, the sound is traveling everywhere. People's hearing the drums. And And before you know it, the birds and the was flying around in circles, surrounding the sound, just over our head, just finding out where that was coming from. And looked like people was coming from the bottom of the cliffs, and like they was climbing out of trees, and people just started coming from everywhere, man. And before you know it, we had an audience, and it was a great experience.
But that is part of spirit work, of the title of this book. Don't you think taking that art of yours out into the world to those audiences, however unexpected they might be?
Yeah, really. It was a spiritual trip. You know, most people wouldn't believe that, but spiritually, that's why I went out there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I provided that along with my tribe. And you know, the people, you know, they accepted us.
Right.
Yeah. And we did a little show at the Hopi's place that they had. I had the green suit on, the comeback home suit, Joe. You know about the comeback home suit. And it was something about the mask that they was afraid of, the Hopis, and when we were performing and stuff like that. And as I was going toward them, the elder would put their hands over their kids' eyes. They didn't want their children to see that. So I don't know what they was afraid of, and it sort of bothered me somewhat because I saw that they was afraid and didn't want to communicate with me. And so, wow, so really, I thought about it. I said, wow, this is not right. And then I said to myself, you know, I got to do something about this. And my daughter, Dejanae, and Rebecca, my niece, my granddaughter, Casey, you know, I called them over and I said, look, I need your help. Because, you know, I can't, you know, communicate with these people. And they said, well, you need us to do what you need. I said, I just need y'all to go out there and grab the children's hands and just bring them out there in the middle of the floor and just, you know, communicate, mingle with them. And kids have no barriers. I mean, children is children and kids are kids. I mean, the language doesn't make a difference. They holding each other's hand, laughing and smiling with one another, yeah. You know, so... And that's what got everything started. And when they saw their kids playing with our children, and then that's when I went out there and the drums started playing, and then the next thing you know, everybody started having fun. I mean, these people was like, the Hopis had like frowns on their face, like at the bottom of the frowns on each side, looked like they had padlocks just hanging there. Holding their frowns. That's how they looked at, you know. Not criticizing them or anything, but they actually looked at it like that, like they never smiled before a day in their life, you know.
Wow.
And maybe we can understand some of that. But during that time and after when the children went out there and they started dancing, then you could see all the elders started smiling, you know. I mean, the smile, frown turned upwards, and then they were all smiling before you know, and they all come out in the middle of the floor, and we all was having a great time dancing. And you know, this is another story. I told them, it's the same story with this one. And after that, we had a great time, and then I had to speak out a couple of words. I spoke to the people about, you know, some things, and I was telling them about the buffalo that they had that making a great comeback. And I say, so can your people, so, you know, y'all could come back as well. And I say, well, something interesting about to happen. I say, everybody go to the corridors, go to the windows, go to the doors. Let's peep outside. Now, why am I saying this? I don't know. So I don't think it was me speaking out. The spirit was speaking for me. I believe this because I'm saying things that I don't know why I'm telling these people, go to the windows and the doors and look outside because something great is about to happen. And now we 500 miles out in the desert, maybe 600, something like that, Jeffrey.
I'm not sure how many miles, but we were in the desert.
We were four out in the desert, and everybody went to the doors and went out there looking out the windows, peeping, waiting, wondering what was going to happen. Would you believe it started raining?
That's the power.
Now, I wouldn't sit here and tell that story if it's not true.
I believe you.
If it wasn't true, I wouldn't sit here and tell that story. So those are some of the experiences that we had. I had the chance to dance with the with Goat Carson.
In the Sundance.
In the Sundance.
A great honor.
Yeah.
They were invited into the circle to dance with the people who were engaged in the Sundance. This would be the Lakota Reservation, the first trip that we took.
Wow.
Yeah, they even honored me and put me in a chair in the middle of the floor, and they brought out their culture, and they brought out their eagle dancer. The eagles, they came out there and were dancing around me, so it was an honor being there.
Powerful stories you brought back. So many great stories in this book.
Well,
it was a trip.
Yeah, it was a trip.